Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2022.
Woohoo! We survived.
Our first show of 2022. Sorry we kind of...
Slacked.
Well, with Christmas on a show day, both stations played Christmas music.
And New Year's on a show day.
And with New Year's on a show day with the football games and all, we just decided we'd save our guests from possibly a light listenership show. And man, these briars hurt.
Well, I was just saying, speaking of Christmas, you look kind of like Rudolph with your nose.
I took a briar to the nose
this
week.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
It was all from...
It wasn't fun either. And I got... You can see this is... I mean, I kind of look like a pincushion. I mean, look at that.
I see it.
It's habitat management, folks. They got there and there. Where were you, by the way? While I was battling the briars, why were you not there helping?
I was back at school.
That's no excuse.
Oh, okay. How about you take that up with my teachers and my principal, and then we can go from there, huh?
Yeah. There are three distinct briar types here in South Carolina. There's the green briar that, you know, that deer love. There's this big, thick bramble briar stuff that'll just chew you up.
I hate that stuff.
And then there's this, I don't know, regular briars. I don't know. And if you let them go long enough, the regular briars get like 8-9 feet tall.
Yeah, it's true.
And when you try to bush hog through them,
it doesn't go
well.
It
pulls it all down. So I was trying to reclaim a little bit of some roads and paths this week and working on opening up some deer places. Oh, and we're gonna fertilize our green briar too. I think it'll really do well. I've heard about it for years. If you have green briar, it is a huge source of browse for deer. And so I bush hogged a lot of it down to the ground. Well, not a lot of it, because I got way more than I could ever get to with a tractor. But I did in certain spots. I bush hogged it down to the ground. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through and fertilize it this spring and see what happens. But if you have briars, you have wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, briars are cover. To things like rabbits and quail and songbirds and just annoying to us. And luckily, I don't have to deal with it on a daily basis, or I would be I'd probably lose a lot more blood. I lost a lot yesterday. Oof, man, my nose. It doesn't hurt so bad today, but I mean, yeah,
it doesn't look.
It's almost east to west across my nose.
Yeah,
tip of my nose. And let me tell you what, when those things bleed, your nose bleeds.
Mm-hmm.
Not only we get punched in the nose, but, you know, when you cut your nose, it bleeds too. But
yes,
the
after deer season, what do we want to call this? Improvements have started.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Already.
They've been in planning for months.
Yep.
When you sit in a deer stand and...
You look,
and
there's
you look,
no deer.
And you just... Well, one way to pass the time is to think, okay, what can I do right here that'll improve things for next year?
Yep.
And that list grows throughout deer season, and bam, you as soon as deer season's over, all right, let's get on it.
But I'd say
time to make some noise. I mean, 4 months of being quiet,
be quiet.
Yeah, break out the tractors and the chainsaws, and have some fun.
I'd say we had a pretty successful season.
We did, and not in numbers, but in
experiences, and
yes, and as much as I hate the phrase, we do have food in the freezer. I'm not gonna say the other one, but good season. Hope y'all had a good one. Hope you were safe. I did see where another young man fell out of his stand while he was climbing down, I believe.
Gosh.
Oh, and he's got so many screws and pins and all.
Sure.
And lifeline. You know, you can wear a harness. And one of the statements in the post was, you know, I don't know how you stay safe while you're climbing up or down. I mean, once you're in, you can hook up.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, a $39 lifeline will keep you safe going up and down.
And I use mine. I mean, even if I go up in my stand to check some, you know, what, like the seat, replace the camouflage, I always am hooked up to that thing.
Because accidents happen, and all it takes is one time.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the way to Habitat 2022.
Yay.
Yeah. I did have an epiphany, Taylor.
Oh, tell
okay.
me.
So, you know how we plant a lot of different things?
Yes.
I'm settling on one thing to plant for deer this spring. That's the Wanamaker Ultimate that I planted last year.
Oh.
It's got sun hemp in it. It's got red ripper peas in it. It's got buckwheat in it. There's one other thing in it. Maybe not iron and clay peas, because that's a fall thing. It's got a forage soybean in it. That's what it is. Hmm. I think it's those four things. But anyway, the deer, I mean, that stuff got up really well, and the deer found it and just ate it down. But it keeps regenerating. It keeps regrowing. Mm-hmm. So all through, I guess I planted it back the end of May. They didn't find it until like July, I think, late June, July, because it was up really pretty green. The next time I went over, it was like
mowed down.
But the cool thing about it is all that stuff dies out with cold weather and the frosts. Mm-hmm. So this year, instead of plowing twice, I'm going to plow once, plant all my stuff, all the brown top, all the wildlife mixes, the screenings and all that we normally do. And the only places I'm going to put oats in are going to be in those Wanamaker plots, because I can go back through and drill in the oats and all that in those plots, because those are going to die off anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back in and drill that. That saves me time on the tractor, and make it a lot easier. So you're always tweaking things.
And saving time for us this spring especially is going to be critical, because we're trying to get some new stands built.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's I'm sure a lot of people out there going, yeah, we got it. I made my plans too. I can't wait to get in the house. But it is. It's kind of fun to come out the door, slam the door, shut the truck doors, you know, crank the tractors up, you know, make some noise. tired of
being quiet.
Being quiet all the time, you know, it gets old. Shh, don't shut the door too much. Turn the light out.
Yeah. Keep the kitchen light
off.
That's
right. Keep the kitchen light off. Don't turn it on. Take a shower in the dark.
You know, not pleasant sometimes.
Oh yeah. But anyway, it's fun, and we love deer season, but I tell you what, I said this to Michael Hook one time, when you manage for all game, you manage for small game and deer and whatever else. I got that backwards. When you manage for small game, you manage for all game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's not a blanket statement. It sounded pretty good at the time, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're good. Just got a text from our next guest, who is ready and waiting, and we'll get to him in the next segment. It's Ott Defoe.
Yeah.
2019 Bassmaster Classic winner.
A new guest on the show.
A new guest on the show.
First time.
Knoxville, Tennessee guy, or Blaine, Tennessee, I guess.
We've got an event coming up that he is.
Yeah,
the face of.
That's it. The Arrowwood. What is it, Taylor?
Arrowwood.
Men's Ministry.
Yes.
It's in Chesney, South Carolina on the 14th. We tried to get this done before Christmas holidays, but it didn't work out. And Ott actually texted me the other day and said, hey, you guys, you know, y'all still want to do this? I'm like,
yeah,
this is good stuff. So, so Ott will be on with us next segment. And
Got some exciting events coming up in the next 3 months we're going to talk about.
We'll talk about those after we get done with Ott. And as always, thank y'all for listening. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate the support. You know, 2021 for us was kind of a rougher year than 20 for some reason or another. But we're looking forward to 22. Got a lot of good things happening.
Yep.
And hope y'all will stick with us for the year and make time to get out there. So hang on. We'll be back. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. Ott Defoe, who now fishes Bass Pro Tour on Major League Fishing. And we'll see what else we get to. So y'all hang in there. We'll be right back. Look at that, look at that. You know, Taylor, if I had been on my game, I would have probably led in with some different bumper music.
What you mean?
Well, I probably would have gone back, and when Ott came to the stage, I would have figured out what music he comes up. You know, I probably could have done a better job of that. This
you could have gotten poor planning creative. On my.
I know, creative Man. Juice. It takes about 4 months for my creative juices to get rolling in a year. Uh-huh. So Excuses. Long about April, we'll be into it.
April,
okay. April, yeah.
All right.
But no, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Got a. Man, a first-time guest, Taylor.
Imagine.
That is, it's starting off the year with a first-time guest, and it's is somebody, if you know anything about him at all, he is, well, I hate to compare him to Andy Montgomery, because Andy's just a good guy, but this guy is just a good guy, too. Want to welcome Ott Defoe to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Appreciate, Ott, you taking a little bit of your time to be with us today, And I've enjoyed getting to know you over the last few years. Can't believe this is the first time I've had you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Roger and Taylor, yeah, for having me on. It's, it has been. I know we ate dinner a few nights,
yeah,
you know, together with Andy down at the Cajun Corner.
And, oh, yeah.
And Ufala,
yes.
Last year. That's always a good place to remember a good meal. That's, they've got some good ones there. Glad to be on here. And as far as the bumper music, man, you sound really good on that electric guitar. So
oh, yeah. Yeah, that's me. I was formerly in a band called Bad Company.
Right.
But you know, it, funny you should bring up the night that eating there. Two things I took away from that.
Oh, boy.
I never sat down with you and Jenny before and just, I mean, it was like, you know, fam, at the table we had a ball talking about stuff, and I was also amazed, although I shouldn't be, at how much food Andy Montgomery can put away.
We have traveled together, Roger, for about 10 years now, so from the time we started on the Elite Series and then through the Bass Pro Tour, and most of the stops, you know, if we have 8 tournaments a year, we're, you know, together 6 of them at least. And it still amazes me at how much food Andy can eat, especially if it's seafood, not shrimp. I've never eaten crab legs with him because he won't order them anywhere unless it's a buffet. So I think I still have some time to be amazed at how much food Andy can eat.
Okay, well, since you brought that up, I have to ask, while he's not here to say anything or gripe about it or defend himself, how did you get stuck traveling with him and being friends with him?
You call it stuck. At this point, I'm gonna say it is definitely a blessing in my life. I think I can say that honestly, day in and day out, that's for sure. It was funny because we both started on FLW about the same time.
Okay.
And we knew each other, fished against each other, you know, we're around each other, but we didn't hang out a lot or anything, but his first tournament, and Brian Thrift's first tournament, we all started the same year on the on the pro side. Those guys had actually fished on the co-angler side some. I had never fished co-angler.
Okay.
But our rookie event was all 2007 at Lake Travis, and actually Thrift and I made the top 10, and you know, it seemed like he was there by himself. And actually, after the tournament, I was like, "Hey, man, you know, Jenny was with me." But I was like, "Man, you want to go grab a bite to eat?" You know, and so that kind of started mine and Brian's friendship.
Yeah,
and I knew he and Andy, you know, were close. But like I said, for the 3 or 4 years we fished FLW, we were acquaintances. We talked to each other. I truly don't even know if we had each other's phone number. But Brian and I were you know, got closer as friends, and then when Andy and I both decided to switch to the Elite Series in 2011, Brian had actually kind of put us together. He kind of played matchmaker in the deal and said, you know, man, y'all, you know, get along good and all to, you know, travel together and stuff. And I wanted somebody to travel with when Jenny and the kids didn't go, and
sure,
I think Andy kind of did too, you know, just to share expenses and you know, and to have somebody that, you know, would be your friend and hopefully work together on and off the water with, and that was kind of what it was. So Brian Thrift was the matchmaker, I guess you could say.
I talked to Ryan about that this time and see him too.
Yeah,
he is a good guy, and I'm not going to talk about Andy much more, but he's good. I got a question for you. I sent you a picture earlier. Mm-hmm. It is actually the first time I ever kind of I quote unquote met you, but there again, Andy didn't introduce me. Of course, Andy hadn't known me but like a day. But where do you think that picture was?
That I'm studying the background of it here, and this guy that is in my boat that I have no idea who he is. It looks like a South Carolina place, but it's cold. I'm thinking the Hartwell Classic practice, maybe.
That's it.
Okay.
Dang.
That was practice day of the 2015 Classic.
Okay. And that's the fact that I've got a guy in my boat with a camera.
Yeah.
You were in, Andy's boat. And then looking at that shoreline, it looks a lot like, also it's wintertime, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the banks, it looks like here, like on Cherokee,
okay.
But there's not enough shoreline showing.
Yeah.
For the water to be low. So about that one of the times that could make me anywhere else in the winter that would make me think would be. Horrible.
That's
place.
It. He's Whole good, Taylor.
Classic.
He's good.
and what I know that also that kind of dates it.
Uh-oh.
That was the Hummingbird Graph.
Ah.
That's an Onyx unit, and that was the only year that I ran those Onyx. I typically run Helix.
Oh wow.
That was the only year that I ran that style graph from Hummingbird. So,
see, Taylor, that's
observant.
Let's see. Okay, so there's the graph.
Yeah.
And you look at that graph. Does that look to you? Does that look any different than any other?
No.
It's a little thick.
Exactly. It's like the ones that, like the helixes are almost more like a flat screen. That's like an old school TV.
Yeah.
It's got the box on the back of it.
And you wouldn't know that was Ott because all you can see is his nose
Ott.
And except he's got Ott DeFoe in his boat. There it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Ooh, that's cold.
Oh, it was cold, and there's the beaver. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Otter. It's an
otter. I'm sorry. Otter. Goodness.
Man,
and it's Ott DeFoe.
DeFoe.
DeFoe. It's not DeFoe. Yeah. It's DeFoe.
No, can't believe you couldn't tell the difference between
I'm just.
Ott.
Okay.
Otter.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
I told y'all.
It takes me about 4 months to wake up enough to get this stuff. I'm sorry.
You're slacking, Dad.
Yeah.
But you're not the only DeFoe that I know. I met your brother.
Yeah.
Up at Bass
That's
Pro
right.
Shops. Taylor and I were coming back. Where were we coming back from, Taylor?
We had been,
I don't know where we've been. It's been a couple years ago, but we went in the Bass Pro Shops there and right outside of Sevierville. And, and Tom was there and I saw the name tag and I'm like,
that was coming back from Michigan.
No.
Yeah,
yes, it
was.
It
was.
That's
I remember,
right.
part, I remember trying to park
yep.
the boat in the.
That's right.
Thing, and I was like,
and just had a ball talking to your brother.
Yeah. He's good people.
Yeah.
Good people.
Just
yeah.
like you.
The people you meet.
Oh
funny.
Yeah. That's what makes this thing so much fun is the people you meet.
Yeah.
Oh wow. You're coming here to South Carolina, and we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
The 19 Classic, and I don't intend to put you on the spot because I think everybody was, I think it all went really good, and you got about 3 minutes or so. That was after you had left the Elite Series, went to Major League Fishing, but you had qualified to fish the Classic that year. It was on your Tennessee River. Talk just a couple minutes about that. I mean, it had to be very – you had to have a lot of mixed emotions going into that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely was. That was like what you said. I had already made the decision to switch to Major League Fishing, and, so that effectively makes this the last Classic that I see me fishing in. And then the fact of it being at home is just was a ton of added pressure. But looking back at it, the way it went, God worked that perfectly. There was no better design for it from every aspect of it. There just really was. So, I couldn't script that of having went any better from the fishing side of it, and just everything about it. Looking at it from my side at this point. After that, but it definitely was a lot of pressure going into it.
Sure.
And I feel like, my family had you know, they support me and everything.
Sure.
And so thankful for that. And they really weren't the ones putting the pressure on me. I don't know that I put a terrible amount of pressure on myself, but I just feel like being the local guy, that was, you know, that was kind of where a lot of that came from. So it's kind of one of those, it's like, well, if you win, well, yeah, you were supposed to. If you don't, I mean, what happened to you? Happened to you? You know, so but yeah, it definitely was a very special event, you know, to have went the way it did. And I mean, at the culmination to the weigh-in of there, and Jenny and the kids being on the stage.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Lizzie saying what she said and making the whole world cry was, there was no better ending to it.
I think we were all sitting on the front row in the media section, just off to, if you were on the stage looking out, we were just off to the left and right in the curve of the road, and we got a clear shot of it, and it was like, oh yeah, my wife was there, Taylor was there, and we were all kind of moisturizing there for a few minutes.
It definitely was a pretty special moment for sure.
And the pressure, you're right, every news story, every article written about that classic was started out something like hometown odd, or you know, it's on his home river, and you know, and I can only imagine the pressure that puts on you. But it was and one thing, and I'll say this, and you can respond in about 15-20 seconds, you know, what struck me about that so much is y'all's interaction with Tripp on the weigh-in stage. Because you're all, this would be the last time y'all be on the stage together. And it was, man, it was a lot of hugs and a lot of choked up voices and all that. And that kind of bridged the gap of that whole thing for me.
Yeah. It definitely was, because that, you know, I mean, for 8 years, he had done his job of weigh-in master and tournament director. And that was the eighth classic I'd fished. And each one of those, I mean, they're special events. So you those moments in time, you know, between Dave and Tripp, I mean, those are moments that you can't recreate, you know. I mean, that's the only time you get those, is that once a year. So makes every one of them special.
Very cool. All right, folks, well, hang on, we'll be back with Ott. We're going to talk maybe a little more fishing about why he's coming to South Carolina and why y'all need to go see him. Hang on. Hey. I lucked into that one.
I mean,
aboard his ship. Lucked into that.
Let's see what you did there.
Actually, I hate to think I never cleared the music from the board last. So this is the same bumper music from back in December. I know.
Slacking.
I'm really slacking.
Was that some Hootie and the Blowfish?
Oh my goodness! Oh, no,
this is so much fun.
No!
Okay. So let's.
We weren't even gonna do this.
So
he heard the song, dadgummit.
What? Quit messing with the board now. So anyway, just to give you a little background, because when this came on, Taylor's sitting over here shaking her head no, because a lot of times
I don't want to take a loss today, and I already did.
You're just taking a loss. Because a lot of times with new guests, we ask them, you know, to you, is that Hootie and the Blowfish or is that Darius Rucker? Because most of the time, well, I guess there's a generation there where it's kind of could be either way. But he's either what you listened to growing up,
right,
back in the, you know, the 90s or whatever, or he's on the country music side.
So to Dad, he's Hootie and the Blowfish. To me, it's Darius Rucker.
He's
so
Hootie and the Blowfish.
We keep track of points. Who says it?
You want to take your lick now or after the show's over with?
Dad, don't even with me right now.
I just went up a notch.
But that was from the Hootie era, right?
Yes, that was from the Hootie era.
Yeah,
but that is Hootie the Blowfish. So okay, so now that we're out with it, do you differentiate? I mean, is when you hear his voice, and his voice is distinct, is that just always Hootie to you?
No, it's not. I guess I'm close enough. I'm kind of in between.
Okay.
You all.
Okay.
You know, so you're not old enough to be my dad, but
no.
You know, but I'm Taylor and I have I'm 36. How old are you, Taylor? 20?
17, 20.
Oh, you're only 17.
Yeah.
I thought that. Sorry.
Common
I thought that you were.
misconception. Common misconception. You got nothing to apologize for.
Yeah. Well, I thought that she'd already graduated high school. So yeah, my miss
May.
There.
May.
But okay, coming soon. So yeah,
yep.
but no. So that's yeah. I'm kind of right in between.
Okay.
You know, you all on ages out there. I think so.
So it's not a full
kind of
win
you.
For you, Dad.
Don't. No, you can't dilute it.
I can't.
Well,
and I just did.
But it's just his the voice. You know that's him.
Oh yeah.
But the music that goes with it, it's like, no, that's more Hootie than it is Darius.
Okay.
You know, so it's almost really not the voice so much as it is the sound of the music that's with it.
A first time guest, and we have a first time split.
Hmm.
And
that.
you notice how well, that was a well thought out, developed explanation of why it was.
Of why it's not a,
always
a huge win for you. Think about that.
I don't know.
His voice is very, I mean, you pick
oh,
up
yeah.
on it.
Oh,
know,
you do.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, so yep. it's like, but then you got to kind of, that's not quite the country that was
that's,
born. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I always talk about Hootie. When I talk about Hootie, I say, you know, when I was younger, he made me smile. Now that I'm older, he makes me cry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
Gosh.
Pretty accurate.
Oh, man, some of his songs, his later songs, they make you, especially as a dad, man, it'll,
that's
huh.
right. Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what that's all about.
I definitely do. Yeah. Abby's 14, so I'm not too far behind you.
No, you're not. And,
yeah.
oh, and Andy's even further behind, but boy, y'all have it. It's coming.
No, yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, yes, yes. No idea.
I'll pray for you, and y'all can call me anytime.
Thank you.
Therapy session.
Therapy sessions
that's
with the
right.
radio guy. Okay, so, I mean, we kind of took. And you've been fishing. I mean, I went back in 2003. Is that essentially the first year you really? I mean, that's as far back as your record goes. I mean, you said what 2007 is when y'all started out
on the FLW tour. 2006, I fished the FLW series.
Okay,
BFLs and Everstarch is what they were called back then. The Toyotas now, but
yeah,
I fished those a few years before that.
All the way through the Elite Series, winning the Classic, which, man, that was a lot of fun. That was an emotional, we talked about it. It was an emotional Classic for a lot of guys, and for good reason, because y'all are all,
yeah.
I mean, you see each other, and it's there's good times, there's bad times, and that's what it takes to develop good friendships.
That's right. Yeah, it absolutely does.
And you transferred over to Major League Fishing. You got two top, two AOI finishes. Is third time the charm this year?
I hope so, yeah. Yeah, I had 2 seconds there. I had a second at Bass. So I'm hoping that this year we can step that up. Just one more place is all we need.
That's it. Just one more place.
Know, just increase one spot over each of the, you know, both of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've enjoyed Major League Fishing. Yeah, we're 3 years into it now with the Bass Pro Tour, and it's a lot of fun. People ask me that a lot. They're like, do you enjoy that difference in the format of catch, weigh, release, and every fish counts? And I do. I thoroughly enjoy it. I enjoyed five fish limits. I mean, I would be lying if I said I didn't. But I like our format better. I feel like it's, it takes out some of the luck factor of a big fish, you know, and that's, I mean, as much as we want to say we knew we were going to catch a 6 or 7 pounder here doing this, that fish could have easily been a 3 as much as it was a 7. That's just the way it is, you know, I mean, that, you know, or landing or not landing that one fish, which can still be obviously a big difference maker in our format, you know, another fish or two. But I look at it a couple of different ways. I benefited from it. You know, the Elite Series that I won up in Wisconsin, I caught a 6-pounder on the Mississippi River.
Right.
One of, if not the biggest fish ever weighed in an Elite Series there. I don't want to say I know it was.
Right.
But it might have been certainly one of the top 2 or 3.
Okay.
And largely because of that one fish, you know, if you replace that with the 3-pounder, I don't win the tournament. And the 3-pounder is a quality fish there. So,
okay.
You know, and that was one fish out of 20 over 4 days of competition that I weighed in. That's, you know, I mean, those I was in the right place at the right time, throwing the right bait, all those things. But the fact that it was a 6 pounder versus a 3 pounder, I have no control over that. So, I mean, I've benefited because of one big fish, but I've also had events that went the other way. You know, I look at Okeechobee when I came in second to Timmy Horton. I caught some really big ones there, but you know, Timmy had just enough bigger ones than I did, you know, and maybe not caught as many. So I enjoy our format. And the other part of it, this could affect whether it was every fish or five fish, but just the way we compete, you know, we have a 30 minute ride to at the beginning of the day. Everybody is fishing the exact same time. We go lines in at this time. We go lines out at that time. There aren't different flights. I'm not in an hour earlier than you out there in the last flight. So weather changed and this happened and the fish really started biting in the last 30 minutes. I'm not even on the water. There's nothing I can do about it, but yet we're still competing against each other. There's just, you know, there's a lot of other factors. You don't break down on the way coming in with a winning stringer of fish in your live well, but yet you don't get to weigh them in. So there's other factors to ours that, in my opinion, make it a superior way to have the tournament.
I don't think we're going to finish up this segment because we still haven't talked about your pinch hit time. So do you have 4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely,
then let's hit on that because let's expand this. What do you do during the 15-minute breaks y'all have? Obviously, you can't fiddle with tackle, or can you? Yeah, you can.
Yeah, we can't move.
Yeah, you can't move. You can't fiddle with tackle when you have a fish landing violation or something like that.
Correct.
But the 15-minute breaks y'all have, what are you doing during that 15 minutes? Are you eating something, drinking something, or are you fixing a knot? Or I mean, what are all the above?
All the above, yeah, absolutely, okay. All the above. Yeah, sometimes you get to that break, and I've broke off, I've broke off my wacky worm 4 or 5 times. I got to retie a couple FG knots.
Okay.
I've got to spool up and tie up a fresh, you know, all kinds of stuff, or sharpen hooks or change trebles, or, you know, I've got as much work as I can get done in 30 minutes, but I'm trying to cram it into 15. Other times I need to retie one rod and I sit down and I eat the whole time. but I pretty much always FaceTime Jenny, and I'll talk to her while I'm working on that stuff. So, I always get to, that's nice to get to check in with them throughout the day.
Sure.
On those breaks and stuff. But yeah, it definitely varies just depending on what's going on. But those breaks are so nice because you know that I can push it. You know, I can have a couple rods rigged up. You know, I use braid with a fluorocarbon leader a lot, just kind of hitting on a specific here, but I use that a lot. Man, I might break one off, break something off and need to retie that. But then I can just lay that rod down, wait till the break, because I'm going to get 15 free minutes then to get to fix that. I don't have to waste time during my competition when it actually could cost me. So those breaks are so nice because of that, just being able to, to shut down.
Yeah.
You're not missing anything and just be able to re-rig without it costing you.
I told you there was a reason I had that fourth segment open, Taylor.
Yeah.
I told you. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take another break. Y'all hang on. We're going to come back, and I won't pretend to keep up for the end of the next segment, but we will keep him for a little bit and talk about the reason he's coming to South Carolina. So y'all hang on. More Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's, we were talking over the break. We try to have fun with the show, Taylor. I think we do a pretty good job of having fun, and we've had fun today, and we've had essentially a little more fun than we should have had because we're into another segment. I didn't want to keep him more than a couple segments. But, hey, Ott said himself, we kind of got derailed with the Hootie thing, but that was fun. And that's what this show, we get a lot of information out on the show, but we like to have fun doing it. And we appreciate you jumping in here and having fun with us.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's been a good time. I'm just enjoy being on here and being a first timer. I think we'll probably make this happen again. So,
Dadgum,
if that's okay
Jordan,
with y'all.
this is a really good segment.
He actually wants to come back.
And you know
No,
what? He hasn't beat up on you too much.
he
You
hasn't.
might
We're
want
not going to.
you might want to sideline Andy and bring Ott back for
Yeah.
Andy does come on. Most of the guys that come on here because they know Taylor
Brandon,
and
Anthony,
yeah, they, Casey. It doesn't matter who comes on. Yeah, we have to have a little beat up Taylor session.
Oh,
So at this point, I want to give you a minute or two. If you would like to beat up on Taylor, please do.
Yeah. That's actually pretty tough because Roger, I've met you in person, and
Yeah.
I mean that's. But I've yet to meet Taylor in person. I feel like until I meet her in person, I don't know that I can do that properly,
We talked about her a good bit down in
No,
Eufaula.
yeah, we talked about her a lot, but that's I mean that was
Okay.
all your side of the story.
Now,
So I just don't know how much of the real story that I got out of that because those accountants are really good bean
They are,
counters, but there's just
and he's a fisherman too, so it's just
right.
as bad,
Yeah.
Dang,
Yeah,
Dad,
so
that's an L for you. Just take that. Just take it.
that was hurtful.
Oh, bless your heart.
He doesn't believe all the things I said about you.
Hang on. Was it that you always say, I'm sorry, where did my violin go? Huh? Huh? Or like Cry Me a River, something like that? Yeah.
the world's tiniest violin.
Yeah. And if you do two of them, you
Yeah.
don't have stereo. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh gosh. See what I mean, folks? We have a good time here. Taylor, we need to introduce you to Ott so next time he comes on, he can beat up on you.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. So just
So,
for that reason.
yeah,
All right,
I'll fly you
cool.
out
Be
to
properly
Tulsa.
prepared.
Yeah, I'll fly you out
Yeah.
to Tulsa for a day. You can, meet him, and then next time we'll have this problem.
You'd probably find out a lot of me in a day enough to
Oh
pick
yeah,
on
it wouldn't take you very much.
me. Yeah. I'll have plenty of ammo in just a few hours'
That's
time.
exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are actually coming here to Chesney on the 14th. You're going to have an event at Arrowwood Baptist Church. Tell us a little bit of information about what you're going to be doing there.
Yeah, it's I believe it's a men's event that coming to speak at down there, and yeah, definitely looking forward to that. Those are something I try to do. Oh, five or six, eight, however many I can get in a year's time. I always try to do a few of those a year, and just come and kind of share my testimony and what God's done in my life, and some highs and some lows, but how he's been there through all of it, and just hope to be an encouragement to somebody, and if anybody's not heard the gospel, that they'll be able to hear it there from somebody that gets to call bass fishing a job.
A job. Yeah. I'm fixing to head it. I'm fixing to have a job here for the next 4 months. It's not compared to bass fishing at all. But it is. But it is. Having, and the more I get to know a lot of guys, I mean, it is a job. It is a work. It is your boat is your office. Your fishing rods or everybody else's pens and pencils and paper or
That's
whatever.
right.
There is a huge business side to this. I mean, you, sponsors. I mean, none of us do this without sponsors. Take a minute and tell us who your sponsors are going in this year.
I mean, I'll name off a few of the
Yeah.
Main ones and stuff. Bass Pro, General Tire, Rapala, Mercury, Nitro, Onyx. Those are a lot of the company. AquaView, Groove Life. There's several more. You put me on the spot.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
I'll definitely forget some of them. But
Yeah.
yeah, those are companies that the Johnson Outdoors with Minn Kota and Hummingbird. Those are, the thing I look at my sponsors I'm thankful for is how many of them I've been with for so long.
Yes.
I mean, that's something that I really pride myself on, just working with those companies and
Yeah.
keeping a
Yeah.
long-term relationship, that's something I've been very blessed with.
But it is a people out there, and I know a lot of people, oh, bass fishing is a job. Well, it is. It's a year-long job. Y'all on me fish 30 or 40 days a year, but it is, and the thing about those 30 or 40 days, it doesn't matter really what the weather has to say because you still
Nope.
have to go fishing.
That's right. Yeah, those days and that's, That's the thing of it too. It is a 360-ish day a year job, and but that's the way it is for anybody that works for themselves. They're, you don't clock in, you don't clock out. It's not a 9-to-5 deal. Yeah, you're on call, basically anytime, all the time. So that's that is definitely a different part of it compared to, just having a regular job. There's nothing I would rather do. But I always tell people that it is a lot of work, and yeah, definitely don't sign up for it if you only want to work 40 hours a week.
Yeah, work 40 hours a week, go fishing on the weekends, have fun, don't come into a job. And here we go again, Taylor. We're 6 minutes into a 12-minute segment, and we're not done yet. But anyway, going back, and I love how two things Ott has brought up in this whole thing. He's talked about Jenny and the kids. A lot of fishermen that we have on the show talk about their families, how important it is. So the support, because you're going from home a lot for extended periods of time. Wives are, and your wives manage businesses, they manage the households while you're gone and stuff. It's a great dynamic. I love watching it happen. And then your faith. There's a lot of fishermen out there. I know y'all have church at the boat ramp, and all. After the and you're coming your testimony. If you don't know, it's probably seminal moment, maybe or big event. I hate to look at it as a big event, but in each of our lives, we have those times where it's, well, I guess you call it dropping a nuclear bomb into the middle of, a calm pond.
Pretty accurate.
But I remember watching the video of you and Jenny there, when you told everybody that, I started feeling tired after the classic. You're probably feeling tired during the classic, but you probably laid that off to just, fishing and stress and all. Where you announced that you had a heart issue and we're gonna have to have some surgery. I think it pretty much shocked the pants off of everybody in the fishing industry. Take a few minutes and talk about that.
It definitely was that, to come as a shock to us. I mean, it was 2019, so I'm 33 and healthy. But then I had dealt with those issues of tired and, would just get out of breath and this kind of stuff. And finally got it checked out, to come to find out that I had a torn mitral valve. Didn't know I had a mitral valve. But apparently it was tore, and that's not good.
No.
And so, they told us then, they're like, this will require surgery. It could be open heart. They could possibly be able to do it, not open heart, but still heart surgery, not actually like through just like a catheter or something,
Sure.
To where they can do it. I don't want to call it remotely, but then still into your heart. It's just, and the way they ended up doing it was not, they didn't have to go through my sternum,
Okay.
but they actually went through my ribs, but still open up my heart and just working on it from the side instead of, from the front. So
Yeah.
heart bypass, that whole bit, just a little bit easier recovery, not having a cracked open
Sure.
sternum,
Yeah.
some spread apart ribs. But yeah, that was it. Did it very much come as a shock. And I'm the big part of the reason that we were so open about it is that we wanted people praying for us. As a believer, that's the strongest tool we have in our toolbox is prayer. I mean, God wants to hear from us and wants that relationship, but prayer can do unbelievable things. And that was why we were so, so open about it. We wanted we wanted our church to know,
Sure.
and so we wanted hundreds of people there praying. But if I could get, 1,000 people praying through social media, that I wanted every one of them praying for us. So, and not just myself in that, but definitely Jenny, as one, especially once that surgery day actually came, and
Yeah.
then for her to put up with me to help be a for me to be as good a patient for her as I could.
Okay. We need to ask Jenny about that, how good a
Yeah.
patient he was. But it was a shock to everybody. It was, and in some points it kind of brings you back to your reality, that, hey, I
That's
am
right.
a fragile being, a very complex made, and that adds so much to a testimony. It does.
And that's and that's we are human beings, and we do have a lifespan. I
Yes.
mean, that this is, I mean, as being 33 and seeming to be in the as good a shape as I've ever been in. I feel like, maybe had a few extra pounds hanging on, but nothing too bad. Not from eating too many shrimp, like somebody would know.
It gets worse.
But to be in good health, but it does. It just helps you realize that, man, that this is a temporary body that we're living in, and it is going to pass away at some point in time, sooner or later. So you gotta make sure your ducks are in a row.
And keeping them in a row is the thing,
That's right.
Not
That's
just
right. Because you don't always have those wake up calls.
That's right.
I mean, I had a little bit of a wake up call there to make sure that, I mean, just to remind me of that. And it's very easy to say, well, man, I'm good now. I'm good to go. Or, up until that point, it's, yeah, we get busy living life and doing everything else. But those are, and that's what I've told people afterwards. It may sound weird, but I'm thankful it happened. I really am.
It's interesting. I wish we had another segment to go into that, but I understand where you're coming from. You can relate so much more to somebody having gone through an issue like that than
That's
I
right.
could ever begin to understand. And there's a reason for that. There, nothing happens without a reason in this life.
No question.
So, gosh,
Yeah,
Taylor,
no question.
three segments,
Yep.
and there's another show. You have been a wonderful guest. Thank you so much for your time.
Yep.
Look forward to doing this again. Maybe we'll get Andy on next time, and both of you can beat up on Taylor at the same time.
Yo.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Again,
But
folks.
one of y'all was a great host. I'll let you
Oh,
pick that
okay.
one.
All
Oh.
right. Well, this is going to be rushed. 1:14, 6:30, Arrowwood Baptist Church. Call the church office to reply to reserve your seat. As always, make time to get out there.
Take the back, you can.
Don't forget the camera. Back next week.
Yep.